Tonight, I just want to continue discussing what I began to discuss Tuesday. One last topic, a general conclusion to Yared Lo'omnos. Basically, everything we've learned until now about Yared Lo'omnos, about Asagas Gvul, has been competition. I want to compete against someone from another city. I want to compete against somebody local. I want to compete by engaging in certain particularly aggressive tactics, price cutting, giving out incentives. But everything has been basically two competitors. Two people are both in it for profit, they're both in it to make a living, and the question always is balancing their rights against each other and taking into account the benefit to the public, to the consumers. The question I want to discuss tonight, which we began to touch on Tuesday, is what if I'm not an economic player? I'm simply doing a favor, a public service. So I'm going to hurt somebody else's living by helping out, let's say, the buyer. I'm going to cut into the sales of the seller, but I'm not taking it for myself. I'm simply, for example, I want to advise a would-be purchaser, don't buy this there. You can buy the same product down the block, another Jewish store, a non-Jewish store, whatever it is, you can buy the same product somewhere else for cheaper. So I'm not getting anything out of this. I'm not getting a commission. I'm not getting paid for my advice, but I'm depriving the seller of something, but I'm not doing it in a competitive way. I'm not taking the sale for myself. I'm simply hurting the seller without taking anything for myself. Another case discussed by many of the contemporary poskim is someone's waiting at a bus stop. You want to come by and give them a lift. By doing that, you're not getting anything out of it. You're not charging, but you're cutting into the revenue of the bus company. Is there anything wrong with that? Maybe it's a mitzvah. I'm helping out the consumer. Maybe it's an avera. I'm hurting the revenues of the bus company. So on Tuesday, we discussed some of the issues involved. As I mentioned then, this is something that doesn't really appear. You don't really find any discussion of this until contemporary poskim. There are four different approaches, four or five different perspectives the post can take, different sugyas they try to fit this into. On Tuesday, we discussed the first two. One of them is the inyan of al timna tov miba'alav, based on a gemara in Bava Metzia, not depriving somebody of profit that was headed his way. Another one is orche hadayanim, that you shouldn't interfere and meddle and give unsolicited legal advice. Tonight, I want to discuss the final two issues. The Chofetz Chaim, in the end of Hilchos Rechilos, discusses a case like this. He says, if you see somebody entering a store and you know that he's not getting a good deal, should you tell him or not? Should you tell him you can do better elsewhere? So the Chofetz Chaim, as he sometimes does, kind of stacks the deck a little bit. He says, if you know that the seller that the buyer is an ishtam, someone who's not charif, he doesn't understand armumias, he's a naive, gullible person, and you know that the seller is someone, a real predator, a real shark, a person, his whole goal is to find naive people like this to rip off, whether the quality of the schar or the measurements, he's going to put a finger on the scale, whatever he's going to do, you definitely should tell. That even if you don't know the specific deal is going to be bad, even if you know in general he's a crooked person. Certainly he says if you know the specific deal that's about to go down is fraud, you certainly should tell. Fine, that's a pretty easy case. The easy cases are easy to answer. Now, the Chofetz Chaim, when he gives various examples of what kind of fraud, he says one of the examples of fraud is if the price is too high. And the example he gives is if he's selling for six where the price should be five, the fair price is five. And that's one particular number. That's a concrete figure. In his notes, in the Be'er Mayim Chaim, he says if the fraud is less than that, if it's less than 20%, then he's not sure. And he explains because in the laws of Onah, in Hilchos Onah, the halacha's version of fraud, that the halacha has several different levels. More than a shtus, Chazal call it a shtus, we would call it a fifth, but it's a shtus because it's considered a shtus of the total. If the fair price is five and I charge you six, I charge you one extra, which is a sixth of the total. We typically refer to that as 20%. So if the fraud is greater than that, it's considered absolute Onah, absolute fraud, bitul mekach, and that's absolutely usur, and then you definitely should tell him. However, if the fraud is less than a shtos, it's only 10% over, let's say, so then the halacha is, it's not clear whether there's an issue at all, l'chadchila, to do that. L'chadchila w'machmer, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that l'chadchila, since it's a suffix d'araisa, you should not engage in any deliberate overcharging. But it's not clear that it's really us, or it's a suffix. So Melo, the Chofetz Chaim says, maybe you shouldn't tell, since you don't know for sure it's an avera, you're not sure, so maybe you shouldn't mix in. So he's not sure. More than a shtos, you definitely should tell. Less than a shtos, he is not sure. Now, I don't really understand the whole thing, and the truth is many, many commentators on the Chofetz Chaim say, why does your ability to tell have to depend on whether the seller is doing something absolutely usur? even if it's not Osir, even if he's selling within the range of acceptable prices, but on the high end, if you know the buyer can do better somewhere else, why is that Lashon Hara? Why is that Rechilas? Why is simply giving the buyer advice that he can do better elsewhere, why does that fit into the classic definition of Lashon Hara Rechilas? You're not saying anything objectively bad about the seller. You're not going to call him a crook. You're just going to say, you can do better somewhere else. The Chafetz Chaim seems to take for granted that that's Osir, that the only justification is if he's actually doing an Avera. Very unclear why, and the Poskim struggled, the later Achronim struggled to understand why that should be, and some of them try to fit it into other categories, the ones we discussed Tuesday, or the ones we'll discuss tonight, but it's very unclear why the Chafetz Chaim seems to take for granted that simply recommending that a buyer go somewhere else somehow violates the laws of Shmiras HaLashon. The final issue that the Poskim discuss is, of course, our sugya Yared Lo'omus. Now, as we began tonight, it's an unusual application of Yared Lo'omus, because Yared Lo'omus and Hasagas Gvul, all the cases we've seen heretofore, have always been where you're taking the profit to yourself. You're taking a customer, a share of the business, a share of the market that otherwise would have or might have gone to him, and you're taking it for yourself. Hey, you're not taking anything. You're simply giving him advice. Or in the bus stop cases, let's say you're not going to charge. They talk about a competing bus, too, that wants to steal passengers, but let's talk about the simple case where you're simply a private person who wants to do a favor, a chesed. You're not taking anything for yourself. So does that really fit into the rules of Yared Lo'omus, Hasagas Gvul, or not? So here we find Poskim take very different attitudes. In the Meisha Balacha, Rabbi Tauber, that we distributed, he takes for granted that Yared Lo'omus, there's no question, even though he's pretty strict, if you're a for-profit bus company, that's what he spends the first three pages arguing that if you're doing it for profit, you definitely are violating, at least according to some shitas, the rules of Hasagas Gvul, and he says it's usher, you should not do it. His concluding line is, Kol zeh blokech mehem schar, but b'chinam it is mutter. And he is extremely emphatic about this. He has no source for this, no proof. He just says it is trivially self-evident and obvious. Pashut mitzad asvara, the whole Isser of Chazal is taking profit that should have gone to him. But if you're simply doing a favor, there's no Isser. L'havi raya lezeh hu yigiyas baser. It's simply a waste of time and an effort to even bother proving such a self-evident thing. There are, however, those who disagree. So, for example, Rav Tzvi Spitz, the author of the popular Mishpatei HaTorah, he talks about a case of, he's talking about the other case of advising a customer to go somewhere else, and he says it's absolutely usher, and it's a Hasagas Gvul, and it's all these various Yisurim and forms of Gezel, he says, and he says, and the fact that you're not taking the customer for yourself, the fact that you're simply giving advice and doing a chesed to the buyer, makes no difference, he says. Chazal were afraid of the injury, Chazal were concerned about the injury you caused to the seller, to the other businessman, who cares whether you take it or nobody takes it, you just do a favor for the buyer. The injury to him is the same injury, so why should it be any different? So what Rabbi Tauber thinks is, Yigiyas Baser, he thinks is not true. The Pitzchoshen, Rabloi, Zichron Levracha, takes pretty much the same position as Rabbi Tauber, without using quite such strong language. He talks about the bus case, and he also goes back and forth if you're a for-profit bus company. However, he says, certainly there is no Isser for Adam Prati, a private person, to pick up passengers. She'ein Isser Hasagas Gvul, kishirot zelos l'chmer manas chinam. Just doing a favor, there's no Isser Hasagas Gvul. And other posts can also go back and forth on this. One apparent source for the idea that there is an Isser of Hasagas Gvul, even on favors, would seem to come from the Tshuva of Rav Moshe, which we discussed several weeks ago. Rav Moshe talked about a case of a shul that was having an acrimonious breakup. People didn't like the shul, so they broke off and founded their own minion. And the Rebbe, the person who ran the first shul, that was his parnasa. He made a living off the shul. And he complained that by people seceding, they were cutting into his parnasa. Rav Moshe sided with the plaintiff and said, yes, that's a valid claim. What they're doing to his parnasa is unjust and not right and against halacha. And Rav Moshe adds, the fact that they're not doing the breakaway people were not doing it because they want to parnas themselves. They were simply doing it as a public service. They felt that some people just were not comfortable davening in the first shul. They just didn't fit in. They weren't getting along with the Rebbe. They were doing it as a favor, not for parnasa. Rav Moshe says that actually makes things worse, not better. Rav Moshe says the whole, even cases of Yared Lo'omus which are mutter, when they're both from the same city and when nobody's doing anything out of line, it's only mutter because many posts can use the language. Each one of us has our own sphere, and each one of us can operate independently. But that's only, Ramosha understands, because Chazal were balancing my need to make a parnasa against your need to make a parnasa. I have to make a living, you have to make a living. If for you it's a living, and for me it's not a living, for me it's just a favor, Ramosha says, I'm just trying to do chesed and do good things for the public. That's even worse. There's no hetero at all, Rav Moshe says. That seems very much to be like Rabbi Spitz, not like Rabbi Tauber and Rabbi Bloy, that even if you're not making a parnasa, the injury to the other person is still there. It's actually worse, according to Rav Moshe. And I'm just preparing tonight, I saw some contemporary broadsheet on this topic who says, according to Rav Moshe, when people come into a town and they say, we're selling at cost to benefit the Avreche Kolel, to benefit people, he says, that might be us, according to Rav Moshe, he says, because if you're a legitimate for-profit commercial competitor, fine, you have the right to make a living. If you're not doing it to make a living, you just think you're doing chesed and helping out people who need help, he says, that's worse. He's trying to make a living, you're interfering. So again, as we discussed when we mentioned Rav Moshe back then, it's very hard to know how far to take Rav Moshe. Did Rav Moshe really feel that any gemach is usher if there's a for-profit competitor? If one store sells and rents bridal gowns, another store wants to offer them at cost, is that really usher? Hard to know how far to take this. Would Rav Spitz really say that it's usher? Hard to know how far to take this, but nevertheless, we do have diametrically opposite views about the basic question of whether the fact that I'm not in it for profit, does that make things better or worse? Rav Bloy returns to this topic again a little bit later in his Sefer. He talks about, Zmaneinu, he says, you have supermarkets, tzarchaniot, that sell at very cheap prices. So is that mutter, he says? So he says, if they sell at cost, he says, if they're simply doing a public service and selling at cost, then he says that there's no basis to object. And that's based on Lishitase that he holds anything which is not for commercial purposes is absolutely fine. There's no way for us to argue. However, he says that's rarely the case. Usually they're making some profit, even if they're making minimal profit. He does say that profit is defined as net of all your expenses, including labor and all the operating expenses. But as long as you're making some profit, he says, then maybe it's usher, he says. Or then it has to fit into the rules of Asagas Vilber. If you're making no profit at all, then it is absolutely mutter. Like Rabbi Tauber says, that there's absolutely no question of Asagas Vilber when you're just doing a general favor. Unlike what Rav Spitz or Rav Moshe seem to say, that the Isurim of Asagas Vilber do still apply, even if you just mean to do well, and it would be usher anyway. So this case, returning to our original cases, if you want to advise somebody not to buy from a store. So we discussed on Tuesday, many poskim are mekil because if it's a relative of yours, there is an inyan of besar chalot tzalem, a person should have special care, special solicitousness toward his relatives to help them out. Some poskim therefore are mekil, give a special dispensation, even if you should not tell ordinary people to go to a different store. If it's your relative, you can. I haven't seen anyone who actually rejects that, but that seems to be a popular shita of the Acharonim. However, not for that, there are poskim who seem to say that if the customer is definitely going to buy, if he's only considering buying, he's not sure, he's looking at prices, he's thinking about it, then the poskim are much more mekel, because those who are machmer based on the Asagas Gvul, they compare it to the dugim that are Yavi Saira, the fish, already in the net, or that the guy's already counting on, he's already counting on getting these fish, and you're taking them away. If the customer hasn't made up his mind, he's still looking around, then it might not be usher. But if the customer is already determined, he's online, he has the stuff at the checkout counter, and he's waiting online, and you're going to run over to him and say, why don't you put that down and come with me down the block, you'll do better that way. That, according to some poskim, is usher, although it is far from clear, and the basis for the usher also is far from clear. I should make one other point, which is that, discussing Asagas Gvul, one of the main sources of the poskim to apply the ideas of Asagas Gvul to these cases, they compare it to the idea of Shani Dugum D'Yavi Saira. Some of you may have seen Rabbi Tauber's discussion, Rabbi Bloy and others, Rabbi Spitz, tried to learn that the Gemara says even if opening a competitive store is generally okay, but the case of the fish in the net is worse. So there are many different shitas in that. There are three or four different shitas, and according to at least some of the opinions of why putting another net near the fisherman's net is usher, some poskim argue that should apply to these cases of customers in stores and bus stops. One of the counter-arguments Rav Bloy mentions, some of the Acharonim mention, is in the case of the fish, according to at least many poskim, the fisherman who put the first net is targeting a specific fish. He has his eye on the fish. His action was taken with respect to a specific fish with a specific plan. Here, they built a bus stop, maybe, as they say, but the bus stop was a general structure for the service of the public. It's hard to say the buses on the route have their eye on specific customers. Even in the case of the store owner might see customers in his store, but he might not. The store might be a busy store. Even if the customer is likely headed in his direction, it's not quite the link between the specific customer and the store is not quite as clear, as well-defined, and therefore there are those who say, it's not like Shani Duggan, it's like regular competition, and even if he's in your store, it may not make a difference, and it may still be mutter for me to tell him to go somewhere else. And the end of the day, the issue is not totally clear.